So in the church's calendar, today is Mother's Day. It's a day to celebrate and honor the Christian home. And in some traditions, the entire month of May is devoted to themes around the Christian home and family. So today we think of mothers in particular, and you could think of yours and I could think of mine, and we could think of things our mothers taught us, right? My mother taught me religion. When I spilled grape juice on the carpet, she instructed me, you better pray that stain come out of the carpet. My mother taught me logic. From her decisive words, because I said so, that's why. My mother taught me foresight. Make sure you wear clean underwear in case you're in an accident. My mother taught me irony. You know, my mother really taught me this one. Keep laughing and I'll give you something to cry about. My mother taught me stamina. You'll sit there till all that spinach is finished. Yeah. My mother taught me about weather. It looks as if a tornado swept through your room. Yeah, and this is one my mother would have taught all of us. My mother taught me the circle of life. I brought you into this world and I can take you out. Yeah, that's something Ivy would have said. My mother taught me about behavior modification. Stop acting like your father. My mother taught me about envy. There are millions of less fortunate children in this world who don't have a wonderful mother like you do. Yeah, so happy Mother's Day to all the women in the house. Now for the real stuff. I'll come back with me to our reading from 2 Timothy 1. Early Christianity was blessed with strong, believing mothers who raised their children in the faith. In this text, you have two parade examples of such women: Eunice, the mother of Timothy, and Lois, her mother. Eunice did it, although she was faced with the challenges of life, as every woman would be. In addition to what we may call the regular routine issues of life, she was a Jewish convert to Christianity. However, she was married to a man who was Greek, a man who was not of Christian faith. There's the sense, and many scholars would agree, that she and Lois seem to be raising this young boy, Timothy, so she may be something of a single mom. I'm not quite sure, but that is there. How did she raise young Timothy to be God-fearing in an age when that was extraordinarily difficult? I say today she had three ways about her. Three values about her. She treasured her faith. She treasured her faith. Families are value-based entities of society. Every household is controlled by certain values, certain beliefs. And what the believing family values and treasures more than anything else is a living faith in God, a saving relationship to Jesus Christ, and respect for the authority of Scripture. Children raised in such homes were taught to pray, to read the scriptures, and to participate in the life of a local congregation. They were like the Norman Rockwell view of the family that prays together, stays together. Eunice had a faith. She treasured that faith. And so throughout all times, when you go back to the ancient world, you see that mothers were the indispensable teachers of religion in the family. When you study the kings of ancient Israel and you see those kings that went astray and served other gods, they were often the kings whose mothers were not Israelite. Mothers are the indispensable teachers of the faith. And as you sit here today and think of your mother, whether she be here, still alive or not, you could think of certain things like, who was the first person that taught you to pray? Now lay me down to sleep. I give my soul the Lord to keep. Often it's mother. Who was the first person that taught you to read the scriptures or brought you to church? Often it's mother. Ralph Waldo Emerson said, men are what their mothers make them. Someone else said, mothers write on the hearts of their children what the rough hand of the world cannot erase. The great Scottish preacher G. Campbell Morgan, a man who has inspired my preaching for many, many years indeed, he had four sons, and all four became preachers. And once at a family gathering, somebody asked one of his sons, who is the greatest preacher in the Morgan family? And with his eyes beaming with delight, he looked over at his father and he said, why, it's mom. It's mom, the greatest preacher in the family of preachers. So we think of that Spanish proverb, an ounce of mother is worth a pound of clergy. You could do more for your kids religiously than I could ever dream of doing. But you may say to me, with all the drama of life that I must deal with, and with all the situations I must handle as a mom, must I also instruct my children in the faith? Yes. Why? Again, mother's logic, because it's the right thing to do. Eunice did it. Apparently raising this boy without a father, some would say young Timothy would grow up confused, maybe, you know, confused about his identity. He would be playing with Barbie rather than G.I. Joe. But he did not. Some would say without a dad around, he might, you know, develop bad habits, bad ways, he would be, let's say, a delinquent, but he was not. Some would say with a Jewish mother, a Christian mother, a pagan father, he would grow up being an atheist, but he did not. Why? He had a mother who embraced a treasured faith, and she installed it in his heart. So though he lived in a world where everyone was taught to say, Caesar is Lord, Timothy was taught to say, Jesus is Lord. A faith was in this family that was deeply treasured. So Paul reflects on that in verse 12 of the text. And for this reason, I suffer as I do, but I am not ashamed, for I know the one in whom I have put my trust. Blessed is every mother who has that faith and can pass it on. I know the one in whom I have put my trust. And I am sure that he is able to guard that until that day. A mother with a trusted faith, a treasured faith. The story of Monica is a very touching story. You might have heard it. She used to hold a little baby in her arm, and as she nursed it, she would sing hymns to the baby. Early in his life, she dedicated him to the Lord. And she prayed that her young son would grow up to be a blessing for the kingdom of God. But when he became older, he was the opposite of everything his mother ever prayed for. He became a drunk. He indulged in wild sexual immorality. And he even mastered the art of discouraging people from believing in God because of his extraordinary philosophical knowledge. His mother prayed for him. But apparently the more she prayed, the worse he became. She began to lose hope. And one day she went to Bishop Ambrose. And with tears running down her face, she asked the bishop, "How could my son ever get saved?" And the bishop said to her, "Woman, it is impossible for the son of those tears to perish." Monica was encouraged by those words, and she continued to pray for her son. A few years later, he was sitting in a garden, and he heard a child's voice saying to him, "Take up and read." He picked up a copy of the scriptures that were there. That experience led to his conversion. The man I'm talking about is known in the church, in the world, as Saint Augustine, one of the greatest minds the church, scholars the church has ever had. What caused it all? A mother who treasured a faith. She passed it on to her son. Eunice, Lois, some of you today are such mothers. And the church and the world is blessed for that. But secondly, in Eunice, we see not only a mother of a treasured faith, we see a mother who trusted her faith. Verse 5 of the text, the apostle tells Timothy, "I am reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that lived in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now, I am sure, lives in you." Faith in God. A living, vital faith lives in you, Timothy. So Timothy's faith goes back to his ancestors. Notice the language of Paul. The same faith that was in your mother and your grandmother, the same faith is in you. So faith in God and the virtues that flow from it are eternally settled truths. They are things that exist from generation to generation. Did not the Lord Jesus say, "Heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will never pass away"? Did not St. Paul say, "Should an angel come down from heaven and preach another gospel, let him be accursed"? Take your time. So some today are saying, "We can't trust this gospel. We can't trust this Bible. We can't trust the church. And so we want to reinvent Christianity." We live in a society that is trying to free itself from the spiritual and moral foundation that was given it. We are ready to embrace the fleeting and temporary convenient values of the age. In Eunice and Lois, we have mothers who trusted their faith. For this time, for this day, for this age, we need mothers such as these women. Mothers who are not confused about who God is. Mothers who are not confused as to whether the Bible is the Word of God or not. Mothers who are not confused about what is right, what is wrong. We need mothers who stand on firm foundation, mothers who have convictions. So Timothy is raised not to trust Caesar's definition of what is right, what is wrong. He will trust his mothers. Last week, our president's understanding of marriage evolved again. Let us be clear, friends. Marriage is also a civil contract. And the state certainly would say, yes, has every right to say, who may be married? The president has every right to his understanding of marriage, whatever that may be. But pardon my skepticism, friends. My little grandson, Bruce, he is 12. I would be a little disappointed, but okay. If his understanding of marriage is evolving, I could like go along with that, you know? But I don't expect my president's definition and understanding of marriage to be evolving. Don't we have an age requirement to run for presidency? 35 years? By then you would think somebody will figure it out. What do you say? Shouldn't a man who is about 50 years old have this thing settled in his heart? There are some critical things here, friends. How would you feel if your daughter brings home a man and she wants to marry him, and he says, my understanding of marriage, my definition is still emerging? Would you give him a chair to sit down in your house or pick up the baseball bat? So what is this thing about it emerging, evolving? And sisters and brothers, listen and observe how many of the big issues of the day relate to the family and the home. Marriage. Look at that. Will it one day evolve where a man could marry two women or three women? Will it get to that point? What do you think? Will it evolve to the time where it could be a man and a child? Oh, should some things be fixed? What's your understanding? Where the Church of Jesus Christ is concerned, sisters and brothers, we deal with things that are fixed and settled. And these are matters not only for the Roman Catholic Church. They're matters that concern many Muslims and many Jews, and all Christians should be involved here. There are some things that are foundational, like we hold these truths to be self-evident. So the church is not here to latch onto every passing fancy of the time. Romans 12:1, Paul says, be not conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Have a trusted faith. And so the mission of the United Methodist Church is in this statement, would say we are here to make disciples of all people for the transformation of the world, not the conformation to the world. We are the church. The church stands for some foundational things. Should not some things be the same tomorrow as they are today? We used to sing in the doxology years ago, glory be to the Father and to the Son and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, it's now and ever shall be. It should be that way on some moral things. This woman had a trusted faith, grounded, settled. It is a shallow pool of water that reflects everything around it, not a deep body of water. How are we going to raise our children? If we ourselves do not know what is right, what is wrong, what is marriage, when life begins, what do we teach children in a world where everything is constantly shifting? We as believers are given the scriptures. God wants us to read them. We as believers are given the Lord Jesus Christ. God wants us to trust him. We as believers are given the Holy Spirit. God wants us to be led by him. We need godly parents. Parents who have a settled faith, a trusted faith. They know what they believe. They would die for those beliefs. Eunice, Lois are such children. Thirdly and finally, Eunice had not just this treasured faith and trusted faith, she had a transmitted faith. By that I mean, she passed on her faith to her son in the same way that faith was passed on to her. There are some values, there are some truths that should not disappear from the earth. We receive them. We should pass them on. You know, we tinker with all these little things around the family and marriage, etc. Have we ever asked ourselves, do children have a right to be raised in a home with a mom and a dad? Does a child have that right? Just asking. I don't know. What do you think? Does every child deserve what God gave, male and female? Does the child have that right? No one knows what the world will look like when we take a serious departure from the established foundation we were given. So there is a transmitted faith. We read again in verse 3. The Apostle Paul said, I am grateful to God whom I worship with a clear conscience, as my ancestors did. See that? He will worship as his ancestors did. Some things don't pass away. Verse 5. I am reminded of your sincere faith, a faith that lived first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now I am sure lives in you. So a while ago we honored mothers here in our worship. The mother with the longest membership, the oldest mother in our midst. It's a way to remind us, friends, that we receive our faith from our parents. We pass it on to our children. Some of us have received that faith, but we don't pass it on. Why? We don't like it. We are smarter than our moms and our dads. We know better. We want the new faith, not the same faith. We don't like the old-time religion. We want the prime-time religion. We want the new ideas of God, not the old ones. I don't drive my father's Oldsmobile, so I'm not going to my father's church or have my father's religion. But Paul is saying, the same faith your mom had, you have. And I think that's the way it ought to be. The same faith lives in you. Therefore, Paul calls Timothy in verse 6 to stir up that faith. Don't run away from it. Stir up that faith, Timothy, and live it. In verse 8, he tells him, do not be ashamed of that faith. And that's where many of us are. We are ashamed of the gospel. We're not comfortable with it. We don't like it. We don't mind church, but we don't want Christ. I'm comfortable with this God talk. Do not be ashamed. And in verse 13 and 14, he says to him, hold to the standard of sound teaching that you have heard from me. And in verse 14, guard the good treasure entrusted to you. Guard the good treasure entrusted to you, and do it with the help of the Holy Spirit living in you. So add it all up, friends. It simply means that we today, especially younger people here, raising children, and those of you who would raise children in the future, you are called to pass on the faith given to you. You would determine whether this faith vanishes from the earth or not. You are called, like Timothy, to understand what your parents gave you, a faith in Christ. It's a treasured faith. Trust this faith. Transmit this faith. Get it into the hearts of your children. And so if you're raising children, this is job one. Be serious about it. Be intentional. When we raise our children, every morning we got together, we read the scriptures, and our kids memorize long chapters. I mean, like Exodus 20 with the commandments, the chapter with the Beatitudes, Psalm 23, Psalm 91, 1 Corinthians 13, the love chapter. Again and again, you put it in their hearts. You install it in their hearts. You pass it on. You live the life, the Christian life. You model it. And you remind the kids too. You are baptized, or you are confirmed. You have taken membership vows. This is how God expects you to live. This is how God expects you to serve. We are called to transmit this faith to the next generation. So Mother's Day is not just a time for the chocolate and the cards and the like things, friends. It's a time for us to understand something bigger about our society. We need people who would hold it together. And mothers are the glue. So are fathers. May God help us. Amen. Amen. Number 445, happy the home.
Happy the home where
Lord, here we are again. In your house at this time, on a day when we think of the home and the family, we think of mothers, and we think of who we are as a people and what we are becoming. Lord, we know what we have received. We know what our grandmothers and our mothers, our grandfathers and our fathers taught us. We know our beginnings. We know the things that were planted in our hearts. Lord, we look around and it is truly change and decay in all around I see. Lord, we are not trying to be judgmental. We just look at it and it's not the same. Sometimes it doesn't feel right. And our hearts grieve for our children and our grandchildren. Our hearts are concerned for generations to come, because we sense this moral darkness that is sweeping over the land. So we come to you, Lord. Like Monica praying for her young son, Augustine, Lord, we come to you. Save our homes. Save our moms and our dads. Save our sons and our daughters. We cry out for help. We hardly know where to turn, Lord, or what to do or what to say. We need divine intervention. So help us. Bless in particular, Lord, young mothers here who are raising children. Be their strength. Be their support. Give them the wisdom and the courage to recognize that treasured faith, to trust it, and to take time to transmit it. And help us as a church to do our part, to make the home strong, to make society whole, to make life better for us all. Lord, hear our prayers. Bless our homes, our mothers, our fathers with your peace. In the name of Christ Jesus we pray. Amen. Now let us give our gift.